through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records this for us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in the fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we begin to understand what it means to be indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would cling to You, that we would allow You to draw us close, that we would cast off the things of the flesh, the things of this world, the things that keep us away from a closer walk with You, and that we would pursue You with everything that we have. May this bring You great praise, honor, and glory. Compassion. Compassion, that is what Jesus has for us. Compassion. And as our one and only Lord and Savior, He is calling us to follow Him into everlasting life, everlasting peace, everlasting fellowship, eternal reconciliation with God has been established in Jesus, in that we know that we have been redeemed at the point of our salvation. And now the way of living in reconciliation has to be established in us. This is our sanctification. This is our growing. This is our understanding. How do I live this life in Jesus Christ? Prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55, 1 through 13, "Come, everyone who thirst, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. And delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that as we understand your word, that we would realize the choice we have now, because of so great a salvation, to follow you, to trust you, to see you do things that we never thought possible, both in our lives and the lives that we love. In Jesus' name, amen. So Romans 8, 1 through 11, you now have a choice. Before, you wanted to follow the law, but you couldn't do it. Every time you heard the law instigated sin in you because of the sinfulness of your flesh. The law came and you said, no, I don't want to break the law, but your flesh said, but you will break the law. And now in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been transformed into an individual who by the power of the Holy Spirit can do what God wants you to do. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So those who have been joined with Christ through the cleansing of his shed blood on the cross and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit by which Jesus was raised from the dead do not have any fear of God's wrath in eternity. It's been established. When I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, when I have believed on Him for salvation, I am no longer worried about where I'm going to spend an eternity. And that's where we were at last week. But he says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. So the Holy Spirit has built in us a new law. The Holy Spirit has removed the pain and the sting and the doubt and the horror and the unforgiveness and the frustration of our old life. It can be cast aside. It doesn't count anymore. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not looking backwards anymore. I'm only looking forward, pursuing Christ. We don't look back. We don't have to carry that burden of death with us anymore. We are not the person that we were. We are a new creation. And as a new creation, life is no longer about honoring myself. Life no longer is about what we wish to be. Our life becomes about Jesus. What he wants, what he desires, what he is making me to be. We spent some time in our counseling class this morning and in the previous week, and the trainer, the one teaching us how to care for one another, emphasized the fact that we are not counseling people to get the things that they desire. We're counseling people to want the things that God desires from them. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, this thought process, this way that we are, it changes. In Christ Jesus, from the law of sin and death, he continues. In Jesus, the consequence of sin and death has been removed. So not worrying about the consequence anymore. We're no longer worried about eternity. That's been established. We are no longer worried about acceptance. We've been accepted by Christ. In Jesus, God has done what the law could not do in us. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So in Jesus, God has done what the law could not do in us. Though it is holy, right? We understand the law is holy. Paul said it. The scriptures say it. We understand that God's direction for us is good and holy. Though it is holy, the law could not change us from what we were into who we need to be. What we want when we mess up, usually we want somebody to tell us what to do. Give us some rules. The kids are going to camp over the next few weeks. The camp they're going to, the rule is the girls have to wear shorts that go below their fingertips, right? Because they can't say dressed modestly, because in our culture, people don't understand what that word modest means, right? But the girls are like, where am I going to find shorts that are long enough to pass that test, right? So I pulled one of the young girls, looked at one of the young girls who was talking to her mother about that, and I said, you just need to go like this when they're... I know I'm a bad influence, but the issue with a dress code is not the length of the shorts. The issue with the dress code is the meditation of the heart. It's a heart issue. We always want rules, because if I can just follow the rules, then I can say that I'm a good person. We don't want to deal with our heart problems. All the law did was give us a set of rules to follow. And guess what individuals were the best individuals at following the law? The Pharisees. Amen. Those individuals who crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said to them, it's not about the rules. It's about having your heart changed. Jesus did what the law could not do. This inability to change us internally made the law a means of condemnation instead of a law of life, instead of a bringer of life. So God sent the one God-man who did not need to be changed internally, because sin was not in him. Jesus came. He did not have sin in him. He did not sin while he was here. And because of the thing that he accomplished on our behalf, because his heart remained pure, not stained with sin, because he accomplished that on our behalf, he gives us hope, he gives us life, he provides a way in which we are not afraid anymore. So God sent the one God-man who did not need to be changed internally, because sin was not in him, to live as and among those who are in their very nature sinners, in our nature. I think I've told you this story before, but he counseled individuals who are involved in deep sin. And they say to me, they say, I can't help it, this is my nature. And if it's my nature, then God must be okay with it. And so I say to them, it is my nature to do all kinds of evil things. It is my nature as a man to pursue beautiful women because I see them. And they look at me and they're like, you can't do that. I say, that's exactly right, because we're not supposed to live according to our nature. We're supposed to live according to the Holy Spirit. Our nature needs to be changed. Jesus came to change our very nature, to live amid corruption and despair and fallenness, which is sin, and then to levy a verdict of judgment as a man upon sin and its control of humankind. It would be one thing if God stayed in the heavens and he looked down on us and he said, I can't believe that you can't live the way that you're supposed to live, and I condemn you from on high. He would have the right to do that. But it would be different because Jesus came down to us to be with us, to grow among us. And as he was living with us, among us, in the midst of the evil, he did not sin. And then he said, sin needs to be vanquished. It needs to be destroyed. It needs to be crucified. And then he took that upon himself. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, establishing a righteousness in us, those of us because of what he did, those of us who've believed on him for salvation, have had established a righteousness in us that would satisfy the required judgment of the law. And this is for those who have cast aside their reliance upon the flesh to do what's right. See, here's the thing about the gospel. You cannot believe on the gospel to be transformed and continue to live for yourself, continue to try to fulfill the gospel on your own. You can't have it both ways. You have to surrender to Him. This is for those who have instead surrendered to the Holy Spirit as their guide into understanding and living Christ Jesus. See, as we're guided by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to instruct us and ask us to do things that we think are ridiculous. We were in class this morning, and one of the individuals in our class, when the question was asked, why do we want to make sure an individual is saved before we begin counseling by the Scriptures? And she said, because they will think it's foolishness if they haven't been transformed by the Holy Spirit. And I said, amen, that's right. We who have been transformed by the Holy Spirit are surrendered to the Holy Spirit's guiding us in understanding and living Christ Jesus. And this leaves a reality of choice in the life of the redeemed individual. Those who continue to rely upon their natural inclinations for direction in this life will continue to live in the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So if you say, no, all right, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Now I'm just going to go live however I want to. You will continue to live in sin. You will continue to rely upon the flesh. You will continue to live with guilt and pain and suffering. This is what he says. You cannot have it both ways. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the thing of the Spirit. Those who live transformed are guided by the direction of the Holy Spirit through God's Word, even when it goes against their natural inclinations. You say, wait a minute, I feel like I should do this thing, but the Bible says that I should do this thing. And the individual who is walking into the Spirit of God says, I don't care that I feel like going this way. If the Bible says to go this way, this is the way I'm going to go. This is the way that the Holy Spirit has led countless individuals into doing what God wanted them to do in a miraculous way, even though it was not the thing that made sense at the time. Jesus said to Peter in John chapter 21, verse 18, he says, while you were young, you used to dress yourself. You used to decide which way you were going to go. But now another is going to come and guide you and lead you in a way that you would not have gone on your own. Tracy and I celebrated our 20-year anniversary. We have not yet celebrated our 20-year anniversary. We have been married for 20 years. We're celebrating in a few weeks in Maine, eating lobster, and I know you're all jealous. I am perfectly fine with that. As we're talking about our 20th anniversary, Tracy says to me, life, you know, our life has not turned out the way that I thought it would. But it's better than I thought it would be. Because if we'd done things the way that we wanted to do them, we wouldn't be where God wants us to be now. Right? We wouldn't be the people that God wants us to be now. That is what happens when we surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him guide and direct our lives. When we do what the flesh desires, it always brings death. Always. Always. Just look. Every time sin comes, death is the result. But when we live by the direction of the Holy Spirit, we engage in life as God intended us to engage. And those who follow these natural inclinations, he says, are working against God. Some people say, oh, you know what, it's okay, I'm just going to go my own way, and then somewhere down the line, God is going to fix it. And it's true, God is in the redemption work. He takes things that we have done wrong, and he uses those things for good. But what they don't understand is that when they're going this way that's not in direction with the Holy Spirit, that they are working against what God is trying to do with their lives. They don't want to do what God wants them to do, for it does not submit to God's law. And if they continue to live according to their natural inclinations, they will not be able to do what God wants them to do. And those who continue in their own natural inclinations cannot, will not ever bring glory to God while doing those things. So the Apostle Paul ends this section by making a wonderful statement. He says, but that's not you. He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. My hope this morning that is you. That you are not individuals who are walking in the flesh, that you are not individuals who are still in the flesh, but that you are individuals who have been indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, and that you are pursuing Him, that you are following Him, and you are not any longer going your own way. So that you can say, I'm no longer in the flesh, but I am in the Spirit. And next week we'll see what it's like